And today we will do Galatians 4, 17 through 20. And I called it Making Much Of? Question mark. And so we're in this book of the Galatians, written by a man named Paul, also previously known as Saul, the one who was persecuting the church until Jesus met him, blinded him, had somebody pray for him. He got his eyes open, and then he followed Jesus and taught Jesus. Him and a team had gone through this green area in Galatia, in the southern part, and the churches were planted there, and people responded to who they said Jesus was, that he was the Christ, the Messiah, he was the Savior of the world, and they responded with that, and they believed. But then Paul hears report that they're starting to believe other teaching, that they have to do certain things to be okay with God. And so Paul is quite upset in this letter, and if we will read that today too. In chapter 1, verse 6, he's like, "I'm astonished that you so fast are turning away from the grace of Christ to a different gospel." And so that's kind of how he lays it out. He's really trying to encourage these believers to hold on to what they were taught at first. And so that's where we are in the book. It's an early book or early letter written, and we get to hear Paul's heart for these people. And then we're in the middle of an argumentation. So I hope it makes a good sense for you. Also, even though maybe you have dropped in right in this place, but mainly we're going to talk about making much of something. That will be like the main theme today. So yeah, we ended last week with like, "Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" Like how Paul was telling them the truth, encouraging them. And then he turns now towards the people that are teaching falsely, and he speaks about them. They are the "they" in the sentence. They make much of you, but for no purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It's always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I'm present with you. My little children, for whom I am again in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you and now change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you." So as we hear in this part two, Paul is again mentioning how he is so confused or perplexed that they have gone away from not just believing by faith that they are justified in Jesus, but that they have to observe days, that they have to be circumcised to become real Christians. And so he has this great concern for them. Now, this is the only time I spent time with my limited tools and my limited skills in Greek to translate the whole thing into Greek. And I can tell you that...
Huh? Not too, from Greek.
Oh, from Greek. that's a very good point. Yes, so I took all the Greek words because as I was reading lots of translations, it's kind of a little bit hard to understand what's going on in the beginning. So I made a translation of it, and that made just as much sense. But the word that's going to be discussed a lot is the word zealous. And it's I will do as Lee tells me to. I will read the slide since I have it. Celo means to be zealous or jealous. It's related to the noun zealous, jealous, zeal. In classical Greek, this word group sometimes carries a positive sense, eagerness, striving, enthusiasm, or praise, and sometimes a negative sense of jealousy, ill will, envy. And so the word zealous is used many times in this sentence, that those people, that the people are zealous for them. They make much of them. Why do they do that? And so that's kind of like a little bit, do I have a, yes, okay. So there's a little more to be said about that. They zealously seek you in Paul's view. The agitators are motivated by self-centered divisiveness. They are not truly interested in the well-being of the Galatians, unlike Paul, who regards them as his children in the Lord. The Greek use here is solution, which means to have an intense desire for something. In Jewish culture, zeal was considered virtue because of its ascensions with God. So, I was actually going, this was supposed to be for later, but there's a contest there's a consensus of who can be zealous for each other, and is it the positive sense or is it the negative sense? What's the motivation behind it? And we see in this instance that it is good to be zealous for what's right, but there's a way to be zealous for something so it is not good. There is a negative sense as well. And so Paul is contending with the Galatians and saying, okay, they are making... I even have one more. What is it? Okay. We'll go back here and then we will return to those. But Paul is saying to these people, okay, so these people that come in as false teachers, as teachers teaching something different than we taught, they are like making friends with you, they're lifting you up, they're making much of you. And then Paul returns and says, that's good. But it's what is the motivation of those people? And that's where he turns and says, well, they made much of you, but it's not with a good purpose. It is so that they can isolate you away from me and the teaching that you got in the beginning. That what the slide was saying, that these people are actually being divisive and changing what was taught. And that they want followers to praise them so that they can be made much of. So they make much of the Galatians so that they will turn to them and then be honored. The Galatians will honor them, and then other people would get honor because now they have gained more followers. The contrast is Paul, who pours out all his concern for them, and he did it last time too, when he uses this picture of flattery and saying the good things so that they would like them and they will embrace their teaching, where Paul last time said, well, it is speaking the truth in love that builds up, and that have I become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? And in a sense that the teachers over here are like, hey, you guys are so nice, you're so great, and all this is some form of flattery to lead them this way so that in turn they will elevate them and make much of them while they separate them from the other group. And the contrast becomes what could be seen as flattery towards divisiveness is how Paul then in the latter part, he says, "What I am, it's always good that people make good of you, but only when it's have a good purpose." And he says, "Like I would want to be with you, my little children." He has said this before. He is intense about how much he cares for these people. And then he says, "My little children, for whom I am in anguish of childbirth." So he uses a... Kailin said, he can't do that. He's a man. Like, it's a picture. It's a picture. It's a picture where he is saying, you have these people over here easily drawing people away for their own purpose with no sacrifice. Where you have Paul over here using a picture of intense pain of how he's pleading for these people and how he's praying for them, how he's wanting to see that they were wanting to see that Jesus is formed in them, that the Messiah is formed in them. And he again says, I know I'm losing, I'm not losing my mind, but I would just wish that I could be there so I could change the way I'm speaking. So, because I'm like, I just don't understand what you're doing. That from the very good news that they had listened to by faith, the promise that God would send the Messiah, and they understood and they believed and they were right with God, they were made children of God, and then some other people come in and they say, "Hey guys, you are awesome people, you should follow us and make much of us, and we should not listen to those people, and you should become like us, observing these days, becoming the Jewish tradition." And Paul is like, well, these people do that like the Pharisees did. They do it to be praised by man and to have a large following. And the contrast is Paul seems to be in a picture, a mother so caring for them that he's willing to suffer and plead for them. He's painting a huge picture of contrast, that speaking the truth in love is the right thing to do, and to continue to speak the true gospel of justification by faith in Jesus' work and not our own works. Contrasted with that, there is the one where people, by flattery and in positive affirmation, would draw people away. Like, guys, I love you just the way you are. You don't have to change yet, but you have to do our rules later. But for me, like, all these things about saying, you guys are great, you're awesome, now you have to do these things, and then we will be awesome together. Like, it's not unlike false teaching today that would take Jesus and then add something to Jesus so that the false teacher would be worshipped. And so it is Paul's strong plea for these people that he cares so much about. And he's asking them to be discerning. Okay, it's good to be made much of, but why are they making much of you? Are they in the labor of childbirth for you so that Christ will be formed in you? Or are they saying whatever they're saying for their own gain, so that you would lift them up? Now, that is so easy for us to say, like, ah, what? Why would they do that? Why would they leave Jesus and somebody who really cares for them in teaching to go to these other people who are self-motivated, desire for praise, a man? Why would they do that? Well, that's a good question. I think we'll take this one. Oh. know that Paul wrote about good zeal. It is fine to be zealous, providing it's for a good purpose. So when we're talking about the zeal and making much of something, it's good to make much of what is good. It's like what we kind of the theme of today. It's good to make much of Jesus because he deserves praise and he is good. So it's good to make much of that. But elsewhere in the New Testament, zealous is linked with harmful intent. It can denote envy. Love does not envy. It can mean to covet. You kill and covet, but cannot have what you want. The Jews who caused Paul problems in Thessalonica were jealous of him. Lastly, Paul warns the church of Galatia to be cautious of those who stress circumcision, for they have set their hearts on them. They are zealous to win them over, but not for good. What they want is to alienate you from us, that you may be zealous for them. So this is the concern of Paul is that these people are zealous for the wrong reasons. They're zealous to win them over to be circumcised and become a Jew, to separate them away from Paul and the other people and what they had believed at first. So there's good zealousness and there's bad zealousness. Good zealousness of making much of Jesus and speaking the truth in love and encouraging one another towards Jesus. And then there's the jealous zealousness of I want these people to do this because that I am so passionate about the circumcision and the rules that I want them to be that. And that those are linked with a wrong kind of zealousness or jealousy or envy to that. So it's good to be made much of, but for what purpose? So this is a main question in this. And sometimes, as I have said many times, it's very easy to look back and say, like, well, of course, like the Galatians, I mean, what are you talking about? It's Paul's writing them letters, you know, how can they be fooled by these people and all those things. But now then we have to talk about us. So we know here it says we can be zealous for good and we can be zealous for bad, and it's good to be zealous for the good things. It's good to make much of Jesus. It's good to make much of what is right. But Paul's warning to the Galatians also is a warning to us. We live in a culture that lives off of making much of us. We see it through commercials. We just had an election today. We see vain flattery in commercials. And then people be like, I don't believe in commercials. Like, okay, maybe. I studied communications and most people believe it works. Like, that's why people put billions and billions and billions of dollars and kronas into this. So so maybe you're not affected by it. But just if you repeat some of your slogans, you're worth it. Like, and then continue creating a whole industry that makes much of you. So that why? Is it because they love you? No. They don't care about you. Like, sometimes with the ladies' products, they try, you know, they try really hard. But it's a business to make money. Like, and just be honest about it. So it's not like the products, like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against business and things, but we have to be honest about what it is. When a company says something flattering about you, it's because they want you to buy their stuff. But you got guys who are like, oh, I know that. Yeah. But you still buy their stuff. I'm not saying anything you don't know, but it's something to be aware of. That when somebody has an intent to make much of you, why do they do it? And obviously companies who are for profit does that so that you will make much of them. You buy their product because they said something, and you'll be like their evangelist because that product was so great. And then you'll be like, I bought this thing, and I they love me. I'm pretty sure they love you. And then you'll be their evangelist and spread the gospel of that product. And you guys are laughing, but you know it works that way. So the reason why a company will make much of you is so they buy a product and you become the evangelist of their product. And it's not necessarily bad, but it's what it is. It's not, they're not, the CEO of that company and those stockholders are not sitting home praying that they would have, like, that Christ would be formed in you. They're not. They're like, buy our product, please. And that's what the goal is. So just be aware that when people make much of you, there might actually be other motives than they want good for you. So that was an easy one. Flattery even also. Like, people can flatter you for different reasons. People can be like, I don't know how much you do it in your culture, but people can also sometimes, even their language, speak a language I don't really do. Sometimes when we do U.S., people call me all sorts of things, which is like highly offensive where I come from in this part of the country. You can't say those things. Like, they could call you honey or other things. Like, I don't know you, man. It's like, this is, but that's a cultural thing. What? No, sorry. So you can be flat, like, in different languages flatter in different ways. So you can go into different settings and people can compliment your clothes, they can compliment your intelligence, they can compliment all these things. But, and I'm not, this is not me trying to make you like hyper skeptical of everything. But sometimes people actually don't have the motives that they're there for your good. They're there for their good. And so I'm not saying that it's every person you meet, and that's not the case. Like, that's not what I'm saying. It's just like, but there is maybe discernment to be made when all of a sudden somebody starts talking to you and flattering you a lot. And you might be like, that's because you're this part of, I might have be biased, but there is sometimes something behind it. So just we just to be aware. Another thing that I've noticed is, and it's so how many of you are on social, some form of social media thing? Okay. How many are you on one way you can upload pictures? Upload pictures. Okay. So I don't know if you noticed. I don't know if you noticed. I think this is also comes out of my own story, but when people change their profile picture and put up a picture of themselves, and you start reading the comments, somebody's laughing in the back. He gets my point. Okay, number one, why was the picture changed in the first place? Is that to hunt for likes, or to hunt for the comments that will come? Then we might have an issue with our why we do things. But then also the comments that come. Why do they come? What is the cyberspace people supposed to do when you change your profile picture? Is there a police out there saying, now you have to acknowledge that this one has done it? And then the people that do, why do they do it? I mean, you're all smiling because you've seen it, you see this happen so much. And I'll just maybe raise the flag of like, why is this person changing the picture? And why do the people that comment feel like they have to comment? is it for the good of that person? Or is it because they feel like they have to? Because next time they will change their picture, they want the same comments. I'm not saying it's always like that. But it's a lot of what social media sometimes is about. Why do people do what they do? Why do they make much of something? We had a talk recently at home, this is a newer thing. If you are my age, or if you are younger than me, then you are just born with that. There's a thing called influencers now. There are people whose jobs is to talk about products. It's not a commercial. I'm just telling you what I do in my life. And we ask our daughter, you do know these people get paid for this? Influencers. So they, or people online just unpacking toys or telling you about this product. I was like, oh, it's not a commercial. Oh, yeah, that's a commercial. That's what they live off of. They live off of influencing you to believe something about these products. No, they're great guys. You know, they make songs on TikTok and stuff. They're just stuff. No, they're not. The only way they can do it, and there's lots of people laughing. The reason why they do these things and can do it and do it for a living is because they're paid to do it. So they actually don't have your good in interest. And what is a little bit scary about are some of the companies really don't care. This is not to bash all people, but we have a tobacco, alcohol industries and stuff like that who has this issue for a long time. They know they make things that hurt people, but they continue to do it for the profit. Right now we're seeing social media doing the same. We're seeing young people who are spending more time on social media have higher rates of depression, is more likely to not like their body, more likely to become depressed and have all sorts of things. But the companies, they will have to say they care, but they don't change. They don't stop their product. They don't change. So as much as those platforms and things are saying, we're doing good, well, research shows you're harming people. It shows that we want to make good of you so you can contact your whole people all over the world and you can see all these things. We have good intent. At least that's what's being said. But what comes out is actually not for that person or for you. It's businesses who are there to make money. Okay, the influencers. Then we have sports stars and sports people. You've ever seen... it's not everyone, but you have seen, maybe you've seen, that sports stars, to give back to the community, they go visit people in hospitals, or they go do something at a food bank, or they do something like that. And now, each individual player or something could have an interest to actually have to do that good. Highly likely, it's about branding for the club. So the branding of that club would rise in the community's eyes. Again, it's for profit that we will do good so that we will rise in the esteem of you guys as we take your money and your time. Doesn't mean that each person who does something has altered bad mood. I'm not saying that. You can do good, and you can do good because you want to do good. But sometimes it's also just part of their job. Like, let's say a golfer or somebody else has, somebody shows up, we have a dying kid, do you want to play golf with him? And he's like, what? Well, because you are sponsored by us, we think that's a good idea. It's like, I don't know that kid. I guess so. I mean, it's sad the dude's dying, and I'll spend some time with him. But it's not like the guy or girl or something just came up with it. So, and again, there's lots of room for grace and things. I'm just asking us to consider all these things. Oh, parents. What? I have parents on here. How could parents say something like that? How can they make good of their kids and have their own self in favor? No, we cannot do that. Right? You're the greatest singer ever. Liar. We can do lots of things to our kids and to our friends and to other people. That is not the truth in love. We talked about that last time. And sometimes we do something to our, maybe hypothetically I could do that, or you could do that to your children, so that they will make you look good in the eyes of others. So it's actually not really making good of them, but it's making good of yourself. That could be hypothetical. You could just be thinking about that. Pastors. Classic false teacher syndrome. That if my goal in life is to make you guys like me and love me and worship me, then you should not listen to a word I say. Because that is a horrible, horrible thing to do. Now we just jog through all these things and I'm a little bit close to spending all my time. I just wade through these waters of things of where we have to make up our minds about why do people make much of us or someone else, and what is the intention behind it. As Paul says, there is nothing wrong with doing good and doing and what do you call it, and making much of, as long as it is for a good purpose. As long as you are zealous for the right things, then it's good. The right things is not your own elevation. The right things is not other people's elevation. The right things is what pleases God, and seeking the kingdom first and living for someone else. That's not you. Jesus, he says it in some stories. He's like take the, that's why nobody sits on the front seat in church. Is like, you should take the low seat and I'll elevate you. Like, back on track. That when we have a motive of elevating ourselves, what probably is going to happen is, as if God is good, he will humiliate us in a good way so we can find the place we have and put Jesus back on the throne, and he will be the one who will be made much of. We all want to be made much of. That is our deepest longing. That is only found in Jesus Christ's work, life and death and resurrection. God making much of himself so that we could be saved and be elevated into God's family as children is the elevation and we need. Not that we would make other people, not that we should manipulate other people like companies to love and push us up into some status, but that we are so grounded and so set in being God's adopted son and heir that we will be satisfied in that. Because then I really think we would not be running everywhere to hear those things and to fall for flattery, to do those things. We'd be like, I'm okay. You don't have to like me. You don't have to think I sing the best, which I don't. Yeah, I don't. You, I don't have to think I'm the best soccer player or basketball player. You don't have to think this and this of me. I don't have to be your best friend. I don't have to do those things. Why? Because of the satisfaction in Jesus Christ. I mean, even the worst, Paul calls us to rejoice always. Rejoice always. Why? It's not because everything's great. It's because of what Jesus has done. We can rejoice always and be set in that. And I really do think we would not be led astray so often. And that if we pause ourselves in these things where we need this and remind us about we have it in Christ, we don't have to fulfill that somewhere else. But we can be satisfied in what God has done. Well, last question. It's not the question I wanted to ask, but there it is. Okay, sorry, I just lost my. Okay, there's actually a lot more questions. I'll just mention the questions. What are your motivations? What are your motives for making much of others? What do you really need to be much, to make much of? If that is Jesus Christ, which I've been saying the whole afternoon, then worshiping Him and making much of Him by our Holy Spirit that we've been given by faith in Him to make glory, to glorify God. And how do we see that? We see that in Jesus' life of how He makes much of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. So a strong encouragement just from me today is that let's be aware of what we make much of. Let's be aware where we want to be made much of, but we need to hear the Gospels in those moments that Jesus has filled those places in us. And then let's encourage one another to rightly make much of who God is and who Jesus is. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for doing something through your scriptures that's above my understanding. And thank you for guiding through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for creating understanding in our hearts about this issue of like, what do we make much of? And when are we being fooled? And like maybe a lot more of the core and what Paul's getting at through the Galatians is, do we really believe what you have already said? Do we really believe that life, resurrection, adoption is found in who you are, Jesus? That's what can define us and that's how we can have great joy. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that at this time you're moving in our hearts to see that those needs are met only in you. That hole that we all have can only be satisfied by you and not through consumption or lots of other things won't do it, but only through understanding your gospel will we be able to be satisfied in who you are and what you do, and then be able to make much of you who deserves all our praise. So pray that you would grow us in those things and encourage us to help one another to do those things, and when we stray, that we will lead each other back to the truth of who you are, Jesus, and you're the one to be made much of. So we ask that and thank you that we have this time of making much of you. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't come up with, I'm still trying to develop something like if you need somebody to talk to or somebody to pray with you, we are not so many, and most of the people around you are highly likely willing to pray with you. So if the Lord was stirring something in you and you need somebody to pray with you and speak the gospel over you again, please don't run away, but just sit back and pray. And or if you're bold enough, just ask the person next to you to pray for you and with you. We also want to have space for that. The Holy Spirit just punched you in the gut, and then you run out to eat and forget all about it. Then take the time that you need to do that. And as you can say, those things, we will now have the benediction for this time. So, in a background of Sebustan, you can see there. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God and Savior through Jesus Christ, O Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.